Shabbat Shalom, everyone. 40 days after receiving the Torah in Mount Sinai, the biggest moment, God Himself brings the Torah to His people. The nation stands there, receives the Torah, connects with God. The nation is formed. It's a new stage in life's history. 40 days, only 40 days after, we are digging deep and trying to explain. How could it be? How the people of Israel sinned? How the people of Israel did basically idol worshiping? These are the people who just heard God talking to them. These are the people who saw all the amazing miracles in the Exodus. They saw the splitting of the sea. Everything was there in front of them. How could they still sin? One of the biggest famous stories or books even in Judaism is called the Book of the Kuzari. There's a story behind it, or some people cannot really track exactly where it was, but there was a nation in Europe called the Kuzarim, the Kuzarts maybe in English. And the book talks about, you know, one of the biggest rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda Alevi, Judah the Levite. And basically this nation, the king had a dream that he needs to change his ways. And he brings a couple of philosophers and to discuss different religions. He feels that something doesn't work well for him. So he brings this kind of a debate. And in that debate, he decides to go with the argument towards Judaism. It's a very famous book. And inside this book, the king asks this question. He asks it in the most simple way, the simple way that a child would even ask. How could you even continue after such a big sin? There are some things in life that after you do, there's no turning back. And you just saw God Almighty, and then you go to a golden calf, and you point and you say, this is your God. It just doesn't make sense. The rabbi there, Judah Levi, and I'm talking about 100 years ago, gives an answer that basically changed one of the biggest perspectives about Judaism. And he says as follows: whenever there's a sin, you need to differentiate between the sin on a personal level, on a private level, and on the nation's level. In a sense, when the God Almighty brought the Torah to the people of Israel, He didn't brought it to the individuals. Yes, the individuals are part of it, but the understanding, the brit, the connection, the pack, the word I want to use is this connection cannot be replaced. The people of Israel as a nation at this covenant with the Lord that cannot be removed even in a case of a sin. And I will repeat it and try to explain it in a deeper level. Whenever you see the story of the golden calf, you truly understand that maybe something happened in breaking the covenant. But the fact that God Himself after that forgives the people and talks about it and brings a second sets of luchot, sets of the Ten Commandments, He is basically differentiating between what individual can do and their free will. And that's a very important factor, the free will of individual to sin or to live God's covenant, and the covenant in the name of the nation. In the name of the nation, no individual can make a decision. The individual only chooses for himself. Even a lot of individuals, they only choose for themselves. The nation has a notion of a connection and a symbiotic interface into God's divine connections and covenant. When we are recording this message, we are receiving again and again messages from the hostages being released from the awful tunnels of the Hamas. And the one thing that we repeat itself over and over again, to the extent that, you know, it blows your mind, is those people went in the tunnels as a secular liberal Jews, and they leave the tunnels as God-fearing Jewish people. Stories about people that did not know anything in Judaism and now starts to make a blessing on everything they eat. We hear stories about people that kept the holidays. We heard stories about people that translated Jewish songs of the Sabbath into Arabic, not to be discovered. We hear stories about people keeping kosher, people keeping Shabbat. And you ask yourself, how could it be? What's really the connection here to those people? They came from literally the most liberal, unreligious place. What happened in the tunnels? Yes, people explained to it in a very cold way. You know, when there's a sorrow, when there's a hard place, what do you go to? You go to God. I believe there's something deeper. Some people think, oh, because the world prayed for them and sent them good messages, there was like a divine inspiration on them. I agree, but I want to say that there's more. When they were kidnapped at those tunnels, they understood one thing. They weren't kidnapped because of their individual character. On a personal level, they had nothing to do against them. You know why they were kidnapped? They were kidnapped in the name of their nation. When they sat in those tunnels and they suffered, they knew that the reason they are there, it's not because of their private identity. It's their national identity. National identity and the whole covenant they have with God. It's in the name of the nation that they were kidnapped. And there in the tunnels, they had to reflect about it. And they had to understand and they had to know the reason you are there is because you're Jewish. It's because you're Israeli. And now suddenly the covenant comes and kicks in. I'm here because I'm a Jew. I'm here because I'm Israeli. What does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to be an Israeli? When all of those questions kick in, those people, righteous people, the righteous people that we have nothing to do with them and what they experience, they're going to sit in the highest of the highest places on heaven after the way they acted. Their merit is above everything we can imagine. The calling, the individual calling there wasn't from their own perspective of their identity. It was the nation covenant kicking in and saying, I am a Jew. I want to be a part of it. The people who sinned in the golden calf didn't sin because of the nation's sin. It's their individual that sinned. And this sin teaches us that no matter what the Jewish people are going to go through, and no matter what the situation is, the covenant between the nation of Israel and God Almighty will be standing strong. This week portion, when you read the most vicious moment of the nation, you understand that's in the level of the private people. The covenant as a nation will always remain. It's there, it's standing forever, and it won't ever stop. Shabbat Shalom.